Morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud of Chofetz Chaim every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov and Chaylish, the refuah shleima b'korei b'soshu of Holy Yisrael. I suppose that includes Maxi as well. Yeah. So I presume that includes Maxi as well. Yeah, he's now in Netway Rehab for those people who can visit.
Where is he?
Well, I don't know exactly which bed number. Okay. Rabbi Sai, the Chofetz Chaim says, yesterday we spoke about backhanded compliments. When you compliment somebody and as a result of that, he gets many more people coming to, wants to stay with him or wants to borrow money from him or gets a discount from him, etc., etc. And you intended, Reuven does a tova for Shimon. Shimon praises the tova to Levi and Levi comes begging to Reuven for a similar tova. So, That happens quite often. Now that's, says the Chofetz Chaim, that's Havak Rechilus. The Chofetz Chaim then says, as the last sif in the in Klal Ches, he says as follows: there is a special category of Rechilus called Megalesoid, which means that to reveal a secret, to reveal something that's confidential to somebody else, is a special category called Rechilus, which is Megalesoid. It means that either the person has told you, please don't tell anybody, he's told you something in confidence, or a person receives some knowledge in a situation of confidence. For instance, a board meeting, a school governor's meeting, anything like that where something is clearly intended inside a beis din, where it's intended to be confidential and not to be revealed to others. So either you are asked specifically, or it's obvious from the situation, or you can work out for yourself. A simple example somebody gave was that somebody goes to eat in a restaurant, and they serve him strawberry ice cream. And the strawberry ice cream is absolutely brilliant. He's never tasted strawberry ice cream like it in his life. So he says to the waiter, he says, what does he put in this ice cream that makes it so special, that makes it so good? And the waiter says, I'll tell you, he says, mustard. Or something like that. Something that you would never dream of in putting into strawberry ice cream. The waiter has been Megala, one of the soidas of his boss. His boss is running a restaurant, and he's got recipes, and his recipes are confidential. And he doesn't want other people to be able to copy his recipes. He doesn't even want you to make the same recipe at home, because then why should you come to the restaurant?
Nothing to do with whether it's unusual or not.
Nothing to do with it's unusual. It's something where you know, for one reason or another, you either realise, or you should realise, or you've been told, that this piece of information is said in confidence. It's something that should not be revealed to the public. And you are Megala Soit, the Pasuk says, Hoylech Rochel Megale Soid. It doesn't say it's a love. I don't know whether it's you're over the love of Loshon Hara or over the love of Rechilus Leselech Rochel Bamecho. The Pasuk Hoylech Rochel Megale Soid is in Mishlei, I think. So, Chweisnish, whether or not you're actually over the love. But it's Zicha going to be Osa. Your Zicha not allowed. And we've had examples before in the Chofetz Chaim. Is that the speaker sitting in the back there? No. So,
he's coming. He's on his way.
He's on his way?
I don't know, but which restaurant?
Yeah. Okay, says the Chofetz Chaim, yes. Oyesh Dvarim Shayla Soyim Matam Rav Akrachilis. I've given you the flavour of it. Yeah. And says the Chofetz Chaim in the text, we're going to finish off Klal Ches today. Yesh Dvarim Shayla Soyim Matam Rav Akrachilis. Gagoynim Hashem Sapa Loi Masha Oma Ploini Olav Eina Dvar Gnai Rak Dovah Shtech Milan Lahakbit Ksas Kshayim Lom Bo. One of that we learned yesterday, that if I tell you something, if I was to tell somebody, confidentially, let's say, Let's say Reuven tells Shimon confidentially, it's a friend of his, he learns with him every day, they discuss everything between them, and he says, oh, he's been diagnosed as, what's it called, celiac. Yeah, he's got a gluten problem, or whatever it is, yeah? So he told his friend that in confidence, right? The next thing that happens is that another friend says, I heard from Pliny that you've become a celiac, I want to give you some good advice. Do this, do that, go and visit this doctor, go and see that clinic, start this food, learn that food, etc., etc. He says, how did you find out? Well, you told your friend that you became celiac. I'm just giving that as an example, yeah? It could be diabetic, could be anything, any situation, heart condition, whatever it is, but something medical, yeah? and he wanted to do you a toiver. He wanted to do you a toiver and to give you good advice. So he told it over to somebody who was good at that sort of stuff. Even if he'd phone up Mars in Stamford Hill or phone up Karen Kraut and say, contact that Ploini because he could do with the advice. That we learnt yesterday. Now, says the Chofetz Chaim today, anything that's revealed to you in confidence, you're not allowed to tell further. It's not really Rechilus. It's not those saying Lechrochil Ba'amecho. Right? But the restaurateur is not happy that you're revealing his recipes. The Chofetz Chaim says it's not being over loiselech rochel ba'amecho. He calls it avak rechilus, or a different category of rechilus. Says it's an inappropriate thing to reveal a secret. Clearly, he's going against the wishes of the person who to whom the secret belongs. So that's the end of Klal Ches. Speaker's not here.
Yes, he is.
He is here. Oh, who is that? Fine. Say that. So tomorrow, Bliadia, we'll start Klal Tes.
Started at the Turaway, Northwest London. Wednesday, Test for Teves, 15th of January. This week's Torah was sponsored. The first one was written by Israel Gurovitz. Last Shabbos, he wrote in Shishka Arub, was kind of a Rav Nachas, the minimum of Yitzhak and Tzehem. The first time, the Chalim, 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 the
Chalim, the Good morning. In this week's Parsha, we introduce for the first time to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Parsha starts with a nameless Ishmi Baislevi who marries Vayikach Es Baislevi. No names. She has a child who again remains nameless. He is saved by the door of Paroi. And then the Parsha finishes Vayigdal Hayeled Vatevei'u Levas Paroi. She brought him back to the door of Paroi. Vayil Levein. She raised him as a child. Vatikrushma Moshe. And she gave him the name Moshe. Now we know Moshe Adon HaNeviim gets his name from Basia. Now, in the Navi it says, Basia, but Moshe Shanuku Basia. This is Moshe, but this is the only time we'll find the name Moshe for a very long time. Because if you look at all the Chachmai HaMishnah, let's go a step before that, all the Neviim, we never find again the name Moshe again. We find various names repeat themselves, but not the name Moshe. And then after the Neviim, depending how we count them, but in the 12 generations of Tanuim, 7 prior to the Chorban, leading up from Shimon HaTzadik to Rabbi Gamliel HaZukan, and the 5 generations of Tanuim, from Rabbi Yochanan HaZakkai until Rabbi Yehuda HaNusi, over a duration of more than 400 years, not a single name Moshe. We have Tanuim called Yaakov and Yitzchak, but not the name Moshe. And then in the 7-8 generations of Amiram, but in Babel and in Yisrael, over 250 years, we don't find the name Moshe. It is possible that among the Goinim there's maybe a Moshe, it's not completely clear. But where's the name Moshe? Where's the gone for thousands of years? That's the Rishonim. So by the time the Rishonim come around, we start seeing the name Moshe appear again. But where's the name Moshe? So this question, the Chidor raises in Shema Gdolim, in Askif Yid Imareches Mem. And he says the following, Mutsusi Kusa B'Sefek Savyad. I found in a manuscript. As everybody knows, the Chidor was an avid traveler who traveled for the sake of raising money for the Moses in Yerushalayim. And as a result of that, and his very keen bibliographical sense, was able to see Kisri Yudis, which we never seen prior to that, in libraries across the world from Egypt to Italy. And he found various things that he brings it, that he had seen himself in manuscript. And now he quotes, Loho Yushim Tana, there's been no Tana Oya Moira Shinikra Moshe. Vuhu Pele Vesod. It's wondrous and it's a secret. And now he adds, and he says, V'haini the Omri Insha. And this is the meaning of what people say, Ala Rambam, or Rabbani Moshe B'maimon, Mi Moshe V'ad Moshe, Lekom Kamoshe. Amazing. Wow. Why? There's been no Tana nor an Amoira who ever has been called Moshe. Now it's interesting because the Chiddush says this Moshe lekam kamoshe. In actuality, the source of the saying is not particularly clear. Be'emes, the first source is not certain, but it does appear in the writings of the Chusid Yavetz, Rabbi Yosef Yavetz, who was one of the Rishonim expelled from Spain. He brings it. There's others in his generation, not very far off, who write the same. But the emphasis that the makor of this is not particularly clear. Recently, a manuscript was found, Rabbi Adi Lungo, who wrote Sefer Siddur Zmanim, also quotes it. The Pardes Yosef, the famous Pardes Yosef al HaTorah, tried to search, and even with his bekis, he couldn't find anywhere else. But what is interesting is that Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, in his Sefer Mitpachas Sfurim, which he writes about the Zohar, he actually has a big problem with this saying, and he says, how can you say, Moshe la Moshe lakam kamoshe? Could you erase all the Nevi'im, and all the Tanum and Amarum and Ga'onim, and you say that from Moshe to Moshe didn't exist like Moshe? But according to what the Chiddush says, the meaning is far narrower. We're not saying in godless. Of course the Nevi'im were greater. Of course you believe that the Tanum were greater. What we're saying is that the name Moshe didn't appear prior. And that's a very big Chiddush. So the question is, Favos, why is it so? And from that point onwards, we have Moshe's, the Moshe Adarshan, the Nachrinim, the Remuv is called Moshe, and then through the generations, and the Kabbalah, the Moshe Kodvadero, all of them. So what happened? Why is it that Moshe is the name Moshe is so protected that it from Moshe to Moshe, essentially, it doesn't appear? The Maritz Chayes in Chedishim Agit Dafniyin says that this question is not limited to Moshe. We do not find any aharons in the Nevim Tanum Vamirum. We'll see maybe one exception in a moment. There's no Dovet and there's no Shlemis. And quite shockingly, there's no Avram either. Why?
Aramaic.
Again?
Lushan Kodesh.
Doesn't exist. Why?
Names were more in Aramaic.
But there's Yitzchak and there's Yaakov, there's many Yaakovs, and there's Yehudas. And what did God do any worse than Yehuda, that Yehuda gets so many mentions and God is not mentioned once? And what's the pshat? Now, certainly for the Tkufa of the Nevi'im overall, Sinishat HaShveri Kasha, because most names were given, as we know, Al Shem HaMa'ura, so you would call something called Yishmael or Ovadia, because you're Eved Hashem. And in that period, names were given very much on the basis of what the sense of feeling was. Even then, we shouldn't exaggerate too much, because one of the chedishim is, we always assume when it says, Vatikru Shmoy so-and-so, is that she came up with this name. But that is not true. And the reason why I say so with so much certainty is, because we find that Chana calls her son Shmuel, and it says in the Pusuk, Vatikru Shmoy Shmuel, and you would, why? Because Mashem Shalti, I asked for Mashem. But the name Shmuel does appear prior. It appears in the Torah, in fact. In Sefer Bamidbar, we have the Nusil of Shimon, Shmuel ben Amiud. So therefore, it's clear that Vatikru Shmuel Shmuel, in the case of Chana, who knew what it said in the Torah, wasn't that she invented the name, but she picked the name. The name was meaningful to her because Mashem Shalti, but she didn't create that name. So even in times when it says in the Nevi'im Vatikru Shmoy, it wasn't necessarily that these names were came up for the first time, but rather it means that the name was picked. But nevertheless, for that part, we could sort of understand it and explain it. In the Medrash, we do find these names being given. In the Masechta Ketana, Kali Rabusi, it's printed at the end of the Shas, it says that when Aharon was Nifter, 18,000 boys called Aharon walked in front of his mitzvah because the parents who made children bias to Aharon honored them by naming their firstborn after him, Aharon. But nevertheless, as a name being given, we do not find it at all. So what's the shot? I said before that this is true on the whole, but not necessarily everywhere. And why do I say that? Is because we do actually find twice in Shas the name Moshe. There were several Ravunas. One of the Ravunas was a Kohen. The Gemara says both in Bavasa Daf Kif Ayin Dalet and Erech Daf Kuf Gimel that there was a Yid called Moshe Bar Atzri, a wealthy man, is identified as the father of Rav Huna. So the name does appear. How we fit this together with the Chidu, who knew very well what it said in the Shas better than us, I would either assume that he says that we don't find a Tana called that way, or there were different Gersuas, it's hard to say for certain. But nevertheless, Dor Shnitlecha doesn't exist. I said before, Avram doesn't exist, but we do find one Avram, not Avraham, one Avram. And this is both a Chiddush, and we learn something La'alucha from this Avram. The Gemara says, in Gittin Dafniyin, Avram Chozoa Toni, Avram Chozoa learned, Avram, not Avraham. And the Pesukim take this very seriously. And they derive from this two halachas. And Mari Brunner in his Chivim, in Shaimis Gittin, which is more than by Shmuel, says two things from this, and the Marshal joins him with one of them. One, he says that the name Avram and Avram are two separate names. So when it comes to Ghetto Ksuba, if someone's called Avram, this is not a derivative or the diminutive, it is a separate name altogether, because the Gemara calls him Avram. And the second is, the Gemara says, Kolakoyle Avram, Avram Oveba Ese. So how can you call a person Avram? Elamai, he says, it's an incident to call Avram, Avram. But there's no incident to give somebody the name Avram. And this Lechoyre would indicate that at least some version of Avram was given. So everybody, you know, if you learn Sanhedrin, I'm sure you're using Magulius Ayam from Rabbi Magulius. And he says that actually, he found that the Chidur himself addresses the question of Avram, of this Avram. And he says, Sinish Kankasha, you have to be Goris Avimi. Avimi, he has a different, the Chidur saw a different Ksaviyad, and the correct gifts in his opinion is Avimi. Rav Magulis himself says that he can prove that this is so. Why is that? He says, the Gemara says, Avimi Mibai Chazua Usu Ba'asam Asnisa B'Yuda Avimi of Chazua came and showed a Mishnah. What are the chances that there's an Avram and Avimi both from the city of Chazua? If you find once in Shas Avimi by Chazor, clearly the Gemara Gittin that says Avram of Chazor refers to the same Avimi. So that kasha nishkan kasha. So now we go back and say, Vosepshat, why is it that the name Avram, Avraham, and Moshe are not given? Vosepshat from them. There's a cipher called By Saharan from Aram Magid. It was a tremendous, he wrote like an encyclopedia of 12 volumes. And he did something, and he looked at various names in Talmud Yerushalmi specifically. It doesn't exist so much in the Bavli. Rabbi Meyashia, Rabbi Misha, Rabbi Maisha. And he says, you know, how do the old Litvaks call say the name Moshe? Meisha. He says all these names, Maisha, Misha, Meyashia, are all certain names of Moshe, which are not pronounced like Moshe out of respect to Moshe Rabbeinu. And here we come to a certain idea. He says, Moshe was so special, Avan Avim, so unique, that nobody dared name after him. And therefore, even when names were given after him, they were sort of changed and morphed not to be Moshe. Miyashia, Misha, different names which sound like Moshe, but not Moshe alone. Zagas Achidish. Where's our proof to that? Rav Shir Gaon gives us a list of all the Goinim. One by one, he lists them out in great detail, each Goin to where he stands. But the later Doris bring down another Goin called Rabbani Moshe Goin. Rav Shir doesn't bring him at all. So in Tolos Tanuv Amirum, it says, if you look at the details of the life of the Moshe Goin, it's the same as the Mashashi Goin. It's the same. It's the same person. No one called him Moshe, they called him Mashashi. A derivative of Moshe, but no one called Moshe. Amor de Kazakh. And this Gedank is not just in that cipher. There's a Kovetz Maria, which is printed from Mechon Yerushalayim. And I found there, they found the Haguas on cipher Shirukhne Sagdele from Yaakov Emden. And he writes one line. It says, Shai Moshe l'nimtza b'talmid. Uchaneli shirav miyashiye moitzui m'shem Moshe. It comes from the Shem Moshe. Eile shenishtanem ad, they've changed it. Favos, the Kvoida Shal Moshe, Rabbi Ni Ulav Ashulim, Shri Rabba Shal Kol Yisrael, B'chol HaDoiris, V'ayin Likos Rabba B'shmoy. One of the tzaddikim was called the Yidi HaKudish of Pshescha. Why was he called the Yidi HaKudish? So one of the surahs are, his name was Yaakov Yitzchak. He was a Talmud of the Chos of Lublin. What was his name? Yaakov Yitzchak. So no one can call him by his name. So they called him the Yid. You saw the Jew recently? How can you call somebody in front of his Rebbe by his own name? Moshe is Ula Rebbe. We can never say the name of Moshe. So if you want to give the name, you sort of change it around. Miyashi, Misharishi, Misha, Maisha, Obanish Moshe. And that's what that name can never be given. We'll see soon why it changed. So this is a Surah given by Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and which seems to be sort of the implicit idea that the Chedu provides. This is one Mahalach. Rusen Gestetner in his Chivas Lahoris Lusen, in Chalik Zayin Semeches, Semezayin, apologies, brings a different idea. He says like this: we know that a name is not just a label, it signifies something unique about a person. And parents get special siyata l'shmaya to name the names in the way they should. The Chasam Sofer says, in Even Weza Chalibai Semi Yitches, he doesn't bring it, but the truth is I found it in Noy Debihi, the Madir Tanyuna, or Chaya Semi Kifit Gimel, before the Chasam Sofer, the same idea. That we find that double names don't exist prior to the early days of the Rishonim. There's always single names being given. And this idea that a double name it requires explanation is something which exists till this very day. Reb Chaim Kanievsky said that Chazanish once told him, when you say your psukim at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you have to say four. His name was Shmaryoi Yosef Chaim. Said the Chazanish, but because you have three names, you have a fourth name, Shmaryoi Yosef Chaim. And therefore find the pasuk which starts with a Sheen and ends with a Mem. And he said four psukim. And he brings what Chazanish said to him. Because Chazanish said, there's no such thing as two names. You just happen to have a very long name, which you breathe in the middle, you say Shmaryoi, you can't say it all together, so Shmaryoi, Yosef, Chaim. But it's one name. The person has a name which is a signifier. And we find the Mashal writes in Yamsha Shlemit, in Gittin, he says, fascinatingly, that how did the name Shneir come about? Hoyu Ish Echad, whose father was called Meir, who married a lady, whose father's name was Uri. The firstborn was son. The first son was born. And they were fighting. She would call him Meir or Uri. And they couldn't agree, so they called him Shnei'er. For Meir and Uri. Shnei'er. Well, why couldn't they call him Meir Uri? It didn't dawn on them. Two names don't exist. And therefore, because the name has to be so unique, the feeling was the names like Moshe or Avram are so universal to all of us, we all have a part in that name. There's nothing unique about it. It's like calling a Yid. Of course, we share that all together. There's nothing which is unique about it to a name. The names, as you go down from that, I can be called after this tzaddik or that tzaddik, but you call after the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, or the father of our nation, that is not enough of a unique name. And that's the time that he says, Rusen Gestetner. You couldn't name after them, not necessarily because of the condition involved in the name, only because they're the pinnacle that we all share. Everybody's an pinnacle of them. What do we do with Yitzchak and Yaakov and why those are different? I don't know. But that's his theory. So the Klaus Magaruv, in Shiva Dibrayatzim, in Chaylik Hai, Evinu Ezer, Simen Kif, says, okay, if we take it on and say that this is because of the Kaddisha of these names, so what changed? And this is a very interesting idea. He says, what changed was our pronunciation of Lushna Kodesh. We have so messed up our pronunciation of Lushna Kodesh that when we say Moshe, we're likely not pronouncing the Cholim correctly, or the Shia correctly, or the High correctly. When we say Avraham, we're not pronouncing it correctly. So whatever issues there are in calling somebody after our joint father or our Rebbe doesn't exist because we've so garbled up the name. So what would be a problem in Tefillah, and we have to be semich on the fact that Tefillah is b'chalushin, and in other matters, will now save us. Because now we are unable to pronounce these names without the pachad, because we know that we're mispronouncing it. So when they had to say Misha, Maisha, Misharshia, we're just mekayim by saying the name Moshe, because we know that our accent of Lashon HaKodesh is not correct and not specific to the way the name should be pronounced. I guess the Chiddush. Well, you had to with it. He says we say a tes and a tuf and a samach and a sin and a sofra. It's all so mixed up that there's no problem. He says. So therefore he says lefiza kalkalosaini takanosaini. Our problem became our solution, and now we can name after them because we pronounce it differently. They pronounced it. Mash Mashiach comes and say, who is this Moshe? Named after who? Moshe. Oh, you mean to say Moshe? Whatever they'll pronounce it. Musa. Yes, this is the point. Mekanished. Now the truth is that all this is a little chiddush to us because of all the names in the Torah, which the Eibishter gave, Moshe is the one name which seemingly was given by a non-Jewish person, and the Torah is made. What does she say? Kinamai she see. So now we have to first understand because in Egyptian, this is, you know, with the Chazal being a lie that the oil was never revolution a kodesh, because Udom said, Isha is derived from Ish. And only the Shna Kodesh just works. In English as well. Man from woman. But so be it. So if the word don't work, how can you say that she called the Moshe al Shem Namami Shisi? This is a kasha which every single one of the Rishonim discusses at length. And the various teretzim given. The majority of them say that there's a combination between the two. The Ibn Ezra says she actually called him an Egyptian name. And the Ibn Ezra says what the name was. Munius. Don't know where he takes it from. That was Moshe's Egyptian name. Munius is the equivalent of Moshe in Egyptian. Whatever word it means and putting out of order, the same word play exists there.
Even today?
I don't think so. But I don't. But French, Egyptian is a language.
In French, they call Moshe Rabbeinu Moïse.
There's any connection to Moïse to water?
Yes.
Interesting. And Ibn Ezra says,
Munias means to draw from water.
To draw from water. Only the Torah gives us the equivalent of Lushna Kodesh. Would she have spoken Lushna Kodesh? What would the name be? So the Ibn Ezra avoids the problem because he says, in actuality, Moshe has a beautiful Hebrew name, Moshe. It is the equivalent of whatever the name would have been in Egyptian. But this particular name, what is that? Yes, Munius has the same equivalency in Mishisi in the Shukach. The Chaskuni says that actually the name was given by Yocheved. And Yocheved said, I want to name him. I want to give him a name, and here's my thinking, and Yocheved gave that name. The Al-Shach says quite specifically, we'd call this today maybe almost cultural appropriation. She figured because he was Miyalda Ivrim, be appropriate to have a Hebrew name. Imagine a couple who adopt an African child and think that in order to honor his heritage, they'll give him like an African name. That's what the Al-Shach HaKodesh says. She picked a Hebrew name and specifically found out she had a meaning. She wanted to say, I drew him from the water, but she asked the Ivri, what is his name? Because he's an Ivri, so he should carry a Hebrew name. The mother said that Abishtha gave him different names, his mother gave him different names. But never, the question is, the name that Basya picked, did she pick it from an Egyptian name? What was the meaning of that? Only the Rechaim HaKodesh says that Moshe, yes. No, she would say, for instance, so imagine somebody saying, how would you say in Hebrew so-and-so? And then they would express it in that way. Only the Rechaim HaKodesh says, Moshe is an Egyptian name. And she called him Moshe. And the Torah tells us that there's a wordplay here in the name Namami Shasi. Only the Rechaim HaKodesh.
So Moshe didn't have a name until then, if you say it was Yocheved.
So the Torah says that, as you said before, the Medrash tells us, Yocheved called him Tovia. That was his mother's own given name. But when Basi picked a name, Yocheved suggested that name for her to call her.
But wouldn't it put him at risk? Wouldn't it put Moshe Rabbeinu at risk if the name was in Lushan Kodesh?
Well, clearly she knew Miyalda Ivrimi, and you almost have to assume that they didn't know. But what you say is interesting, because who says this? Yeah, the Dazakai by the Tosfos say, ever since Yosef came to Mitzrayim, the upper class knew some Lushan Kodesh. They could throw some words around. So he says, it was a Hebrew name, and Basti knew enough of Lushan Kodesh to be able to give him a Hebrew name, because they knew enough. What is the proof of that? This is Tzafnas Panayach. Tzafnas Panayach, Ryan Kamenetsky incidentally disagrees. He says that Panayach is a classical Egyptian name. Ryan Kamenetsky, I'm not going to go in, says that Pi and the Ayin are extremely common in Hebrew in this. Pantachas, paroi, so he says, Tzofnas Panayach has all the ringtones of what you expect to hear in an Egyptian name. So, yes.
I think an Egyptian name had to have a pay or a resh or a
hay. Yeah, yeah.
To be an aristocratic.
Correct. Egyptian. So he says, it's not a coincidence that Tzofnas Panayach contains all these constants.
I wish I had none of this.
True. But my question with the Tzofnas Panayach is a proof, because on the one hand, that's the kind of Baltoises are correct, that they know my Haskumah. Tzofnas Panayach has a Hebrew meaning, Tzofnas Panayach, that it reveals what is hidden. And the Rav Kamenetsky says that's a later interpretation of a word in Egyptian. But as the kind of Baltoises says, no, this is proof that the Egyptian gentry spoke a level of Lushan HaKodesh, especially if you say that HaKodesh basically is a Canaanite language, which was known.
Who named Aaron and Miriam?
Pashtus, the appearance. And that's what these names are seemingly no different than Reuven or Shimon, which were picked for some reason which are not clear to us.
I want the name Shifra Piyush should contain the letters of...
Correct. The Egyptian, them Egyptian names. Unfortunately, we don't have so much time left. We'll finish with one akidim, and that is that Rabbi Magudli says, Agus and Safi Hasidim. The Safi Hasidim, there's additional part to Wisabi Dachusid, which was found by in Munich by Nutri Rabinovich, who also wrote the Dikdika Sofrim. And there's additional points there. And in Seif Bazi writes, no, never call your child Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and not Moshe. This is his Savut, his children. This is too much. So Rabbi Magudli says a kasha on that, which is also a kasha on what we just said now, that there's a medrash rabbi in Bereishis Rabbi, and it says, Zayach HaTzadik in Levruchu, Shumatum Yumechu, you ever heard in your life, Udam Koyer Benoi Paroi, Sisru, Sancheiriv? What does a person call the child? Avruam, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So how can you go against a medrash? And Rabbi says, Amoyed HaKachidish. But before that, I'll say to you, interesting story, Rabbi Chanoch Segal from Menei Barak told me, that he was there when it happened. The Yid, a Imam from Afakim, stood in the long line to go to Reb Chaim. He came by and he said that his father, who had come from Russia many years earlier, and he was sick now, and he's so sick they want to add a name. What name should they add? Reb Chaim thought for a moment and he said, Paroi. So he thought he didn't hear correctly. He bent down and said, Laval, Ez Hashem. So he thought again and said, Achashvayrish. So he walked to be quite bewildered, didn't know what to do. And this is Reb Chaim's very, very late years, and it wasn't much like, you know, he had 5 seconds, what can he do now? And he went and told this to his father, and his father confessed to him that when he came from Ukraine in 1991, his mother was Jewish, he wasn't, and they didn't keep her from lifestyle. And not long after that, they opened up this Karen for Moshe Sher, what's it called, the Chadurim, something Moshe, I forget what it's called, and there was a big movement to get children to come into these Chinuch Atzmui schools. And they offered free schooling and good education with hot meals. So he agreed to send the children there. And after a few months, he came home and said, the boy said, my mother should send lecht. So he send the lecht. A few months later, he said, they should make kiddush. Or take a mach kiddush. And he wasn't very observant, but the family became, so to speak, from. And he just slipped his mind ever to be in his guy, nor did he have to be a guy. He was a simple guy from Ukraine, who his children were taka halachically Jewish, who acted Jewish, but he was a guy.
He was.
He was, the father was a guy. So indeed, to add a name for him, most probably Paroi or Chashvayrish or something of the sort. So we go back to Reuven to finish with this Gedank. He says, this does not refer to Yidden. The man is talking about a Goy. What does a Goy call his son Abraham or Isaac or Jacob? This is the Zach HaZik and Levruchu. And then even Goyim, the Goyim don't call Paroi. If you haven't met somebody in business, hi, my name is Pharaoh. But you find Goyim all the time in biblical names, David, Solomon. What's the pshat? This is the pshat for them. This is our kuvah that they call, but we indeed in Zoraya, we have respect.
Alexander.
And finally, the closing room says, "What's the with the Shlemai?" Maybe for a long time after the Charbon, these were royal names, and you don't call royal names unless you're Mezer HaMelichu. And what is my raya? That look at the name Gamliel repeats itself in the Shoshana, so they see him 6 times, and the name Hillel 4 times, but no one else is called Hillel and Gamliel. Clearly, names that are reserved to a particular line that you see, like a Nusi or a Melech, you don't use. Only with the duration of time, and of course after the Charbon, this was in Svatl. Yeshakarech. Yeah, that was specifically given.
So no double names until when?
In early times of the Shining. There's much less in places, Yaakov Yisrael.
Abba Chilkia.
Abba is a title, an honorable title. Abba Shul, Abba Chilkia, Abba Yossi. It's like saying Haram. Sure.